So how old do you have to be old? That's life's big question this morning. How old do you have to be old? When some of us were in our teens, we thought that 20 was old. I still remember a famous song by Randy Stonehill, Turnin' 30. That was seen as a milestone in life. Remember as a boy, my dad turned 40. And at the time, I thought 40 was ancient. Maybe it's 50. Although if my sister Pam is listening to a podcast of this sermon, Pam, my apology. I know you'll be offended to think that 50 is old. How about 60? Well, I think that 60 is old. And as I look out here this morning, I see some of you, please notice the pronoun, some of you are 60 and above. So that means that you're old, and some of us are much younger. And so that's our kind of defining point this morning. 60 and above is old, and if you're like me, under 60, much under 60, then we are the young ones who are here this morning. Let's just lighten things up a bit this morning. It's one of those bleak mornings, and I'd like to share with you some reflections that some people have had on aging. Someone has said, regular naps prevent old age, especially if you take them while driving. And then our friend Agatha Christie, an archaeologist is the best husband a woman can have. The older she gets, the more interested he is in her. So look for an archaeologist if you're not yet married. Phyllis Diller, I'm at an age where my back goes out more than I do. That is so true. Rita Rudner, my grandma was a very tough woman. She buried three husbands, and two of them were just napping. So don't nap. You never know what can happen. Bob Hope, you know you're getting older when the candles cost more than the cake. Amen. George Burns, when I was a boy, the Dead Sea was only sick. Jerry Seinfeld, you know you're getting older when you get just one candle on the cake. It's like, see if you can blow this out. And then finally, a reporter interviewing a 104-year-old woman asked, and what do you think is the best thing about turning 104? She simply replied, no peer pressure. There we go. Well, it's good to be able to laugh. I love older people, those who are 60 and above, who have a good sense of humor. And but I also want to say that it is a concern in our culture because I think one of the worst kinds of discrimination that we see out there, it can even trickle into the church, is ageism, where people have a very negative view of aging. In fact, many people in our culture would say, I'd rather die than grow older. Many, many people. It's the prevailing thought out in the world today, and believe it or not, it can even creep into the church. So this morning, we want to be very respectful of, and we'll say a fair bit about the positives that come with aging. But you know, today's message is for those who are old and those who are young. However, my big idea this morning, and I want you to get it, because it applies to every one of you. You are younger today than you will be tomorrow. You believe that? You are younger today than you will be tomorrow. In fact, you turn to somebody because they need to hear this, and you tell them, you are younger today than you will be tomorrow. Take a couple of seconds and do that and say it with some conviction. You are younger today than you will be tomorrow. So in one way, I do feel that I'm speaking to young people this morning because the fact is you're younger today than you'll be tomorrow. That's my idea. My title this morning is, So Now is the Time. Because tomorrow may be too difficult, and tomorrow may never come. So now is the time. And we're going to look at two things you must do when you are younger. Because our idea this morning is, say it with me, you're younger today than you'll be tomorrow. So I have 2 points, but King, not to disappoint you, I do have a third point. It would not be like one of my sermons unless it was 3 points. So we have 2 points out of our text and a bonus point, not just for King, but for everyone here this morning. So there are 3 points that we want to develop this morning from Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7 through to chapter 12, verse 6. You figured it out. Next week, keeping in mind the Olympics are on, it's the bell lap. It's the final lap as we look at the last paragraph in Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes 11, verses 7 to 10, and I will read it. Follow along carefully. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Here's the first thing you need to know. Now is the time to enjoy life. Now is the time for those who are young, for those who are older and young at heart, for everyone, now is the time to enjoy life. Light is sweet is Solomon's way of saying life is good. He says there are some forms of light that are very sweet and pleasant. A sunny day, especially in winter, is something we long for. Even I can tolerate winter a bit if it's a sunny day. We enjoy the light of a campfire because it keeps us warm, and we think of the fellowship around a campfire. Or a good lamp. I like a good lamp for reading and for studying. So we appreciate the great value of light. And this is Solomon's way of reminding us that life is good. Life is full of all kinds of blessings. So it's why in verse 8 we have this general statement that really applies to anyone, no matter what stage you're at in life. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. So every stage of life, every phase of life, every decade of life, make sure you're enjoying it. So for those who are younger, in their teens and some into their 20s, enjoy this stage of life. Enjoy school. Enjoy all that comes with the youthful experiences that you can enjoy in school and other places. And then some of you into your 20s and 30s, especially if you're blessed with children. Parenting can be tough. Parenting can be challenged. But I sure hope that you enjoy this phase of life. It'll pass pretty quickly. Children grow up fast. So make sure that you enjoy the phase of life where you're parenting young children. And then even with adult children. We have enjoyed, Heather and me, the times that we can be together with our daughter and son who are in their 20s. And I know many of you value and cherish those times where you can enjoy life with your adult children. And then how about grandchildren? Isn't it a wonderful blessing to enjoy grandchildren? And sometimes, if they get acting up, you can just send the grandchild and his parents on their way, you don't have that responsibility. I think grandparenting must be a wonderful blessing for those who are older. And then what about seniors' discounts? You don't even have to be 60. At 55, you can enjoy the senior menu at Denny's and other places. So there's a lot, isn't there, to enjoy in the different phases and in the different stages of life. And so Solomon is saying, as we said a few weeks ago, have a blast in this life. Make sure you're enjoying life. In fact, it's what God commands and God expects of us, that we will enjoy life. But it's like Solomon can't help himself. We have said that Solomon comes across as a glass is half empty kind of guy. Where those of you who are wired to be half empty glass people, you would say Solomon is realistic. Because in the second part of verse 8, he says, but let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. There are going to be days of blessings in this life, and there can be days that are difficult, days of trouble. It's consistent with Jesus' message when he told his disciples, in this life you will have many troubles. We should not be alarmed. We shouldn't doubt our faith. We shouldn't ask questions like, why me? Jesus promises that there will be troubles and there will be difficulties in this life. And in the context of this passage, it's as if Solomon is saying, enjoy this day, enjoy this stage of life, because there are no guarantees what will come tomorrow. Tomorrow may be very difficult. It may be very challenging. How often do we say, I'm going to wait, and I will enjoy life at a later stage. Once I'm out of school and I have a job, then I'm really going to enjoy life. Or once I have children, then I'm going to enjoy life. And then especially when you're parenting, you're going, oh, when the kids grow up and they leave home, then I'm going to be able to enjoy life. And then you push it off and go, well, I'm still working. When I retire, that's when I'm going to enjoy life. And I guess beyond retirement is death. I guess some of us might be going, well, that's when I'm going to enjoy this life, which really makes no sense. So Solomon's message for all of us is crystal clear. Enjoy life now, because you're younger today than you will be tomorrow. Tomorrow may be dark days, stormy days, instead of sunny days. And one day, there will be no more tomorrow. So seize the day. Capture it now. And enjoy it to the full. Now in verse 9, there is a shift. So Solomon has been talking to everyone, but now he narrows his focus. And he talks especially to those who are younger, although I believe there is a message for all of us who are young at heart. So for the youth, for those who are young at heart, there is a command. This is the first command in our section today, where it says in verse 9, you who are young, be happy. That's a command. It's not an option. It's not like, well, you've got some choices. You could be happy, you could be miserable, you could be kind of neutral. No, the command in Scripture is be happy, be joyful, enjoy life. And then there's some conditions placed on it in verses 9 and 10. Follow the inclination of your heart. Follow after what your eyes see. I'm going to paraphrase that. What Solomon is saying is, chase your dreams. Go after your desires. That's what I love about young people who have dreams and where you can say to a young person, chase your dreams. I don't always give the greatest advice to my kids, but something I've been very consistent with is the advice, chase your dreams. There are going to be times where people are going to say, that's far-fetched. There's no way you'll ever realize it. But who cares if you fail? Go after it. And you might just succeed in chasing your dreams. I got to tell you, I like people who are in their 30s and 40s who are still chasing their dreams. I like people who are even 60 or above who are still chasing dreams. People who are saying, can't wait till I retire because I've got a dream I'm going to pursue. Again, the caution this morning is don't wait too long. So chase your dreams. But again, Solomon is a man of balance because just as he says that about chasing your dreams, he says, follow the ways of your heart, whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will judge you. I don't think that Solomon is telling us to temper those dreams, but I think what he is saying is make sure that the dreams that you chase, make sure the desires you pursue are wise. Choose your dreams and choose the pursuits of your life wisely. Or maybe another way we could put it is enjoy life responsibly, because there will be consequences, and God does expect that you will follow his moral standards. We know that that is the way for us to truly experience joy and happiness. If you go outside of God's rules to pursue dreams or to chase after things in life, you will end up disappointed. And it won't be joy, but discouragement you will experience. This week, maybe you have been following the London court case where three young teenagers at a party got on a skid steer. It's some kind of mechanical equipment. They got on it for a joyride. And I'm sure they were having a great time, fueled by a lot of beer, and they were having a grand old time. A guy in his 20s, responsible guy, tried to stop them. It wasn't theirs to ride. It could have caused damage. And you heard that the older fellow in his 20s got run over and killed. And the other day, as I was looking at the paper and reading it and looking at the picture of these three young men, I thought, how tragic. A joyride turned disastrous. And in many ways, they're going to be experiencing consequences of that one evening of foolishness for the rest of their lives. So Solomon, very wise counsel. Enjoy life, especially when you're young. Have a blast, but make sure that you're doing it responsibly. Make sure you're aware that there is judgment in life and even accountability towards God. And then Solomon in the last verse goes on and talks about some of the ways that we can truly experience joy in life, especially when we're younger. I love this phrase in verse 10. So then, on the basis of the command to enjoy life in your youth, banish anxiety. Banish it. So you know and I know that the number one emotional illness right now in Canada is not depression. Depression is still up there, but it's anxiety. And the thing that's very concerning is that incidents of anxiety in youth are through the roof, off the charts. So anxiety and stress is a major concern for those who are young. And so Solomon's counsel is banish anxiety, deal with it, have a strategy of working through it. And as those who maybe work with youth, those of us who have young children and teenagers, we want to do what we can to help them banish anxiety. Keep trouble away from your body. I see that as stay healthy, especially in your youth. Do what you can to make sure that you're protecting and progressing when it comes to your health. And then in the last phrase, Solomon uses what he does all the time, for youth and vigor are meaningless. It will fade away. It'll go up like a vapor. And Solomon would be telling us that the stage of youth is short, and at the same time, he would be telling us that as a young person, now is the time. Don't wait till tomorrow if you're a young person to enjoy life. Even if you're an older person, now is the time to enjoy life. It's why I take particular pleasure when we see some of our children here at church and they're having a good time. Okay, we know that we have to be careful that they're not running into some of us who are older, and we need that kind of balance. But at the end of the day, I take great delight. I hope you take great delight when we see some of these younger children who are amongst us. And when it comes to teens, we as a church intentionally invest in that age group. And people like Glenn and Catherine and Josh and others who are working with our youth, we appreciate them, and we need to encourage them. And I think it's a sign of health when those of us, those of you who are older, and maybe some of us who are a bit less old, need to be cognitive of how important it is to invest in a younger generation and to recognize that God commands that young people have a blast, have a great time, because it is a special time of life. But Solomon doesn't stop there. In fact, I would argue the first command is actually linked to the second command. So let's look at the next and final section. This passage, we're just going to walk through it. I'm not going to read it. Just for the sake of time, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So my point here, if the first point is now is the time to enjoy life, our second point is now is the time to commit your life to God. Because you're younger today than you'll be tomorrow. So now is the time to commit your life to God, or to live a God-centered life. It's actually what's meant by the Hebrew word that gets translated remember. It's a good word, remember, but it can carry a connotation that might be confusing. Some of us would say, oh, isn't it nice to remember grandma? Meaning having fond memories, feeling quite nostalgic about grandma. Well, it's more than this when Solomon says, remember your Creator. It's not just having fond memories or nostalgic thoughts about God, but it's a commitment. It's a purposeful decision to make God the center of life and to live a life that is God-centered. Remember this command. Commit your life to God. Live a God-centered life. Don't wait. It's now. And in fact, in the passage we'll read and go through, look for the word before. It's not after I get older, but it's before I get older. There's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of nowness in this passage. So let's follow it through. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. So again, this is consistent with what he argued in chapter 11. There will be years that approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. So Solomon is saying the opportunity is now. There could come a day where you won't have the capacity to find pleasure in the days that are before you. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars go dark and the clouds return after the rain. So now, during the sunny day period, is the time to get right with God. Don't wait till the stormy days come where it becomes more difficult, where your capacity is diminished. Now, in the next verses, Solomon has a poem. It's well known. It's full of metaphors, and it's somewhat negative about aging. maybe you'll be able to relate to it, why Solomon is so concerned about some of the limitations that come with aging. So he begins by talking about when the keepers of the house tremble. This is a metaphor that means when the hands or the arms start to tremble. Some of you who are getting older can relate to that. You don't have the strength in your hands or in your arms or even your shoulders. So many people, as they get older, experience difficulty with their shoulders and other what are called keepers of the house. When the strong men stoop, this is the idea of the legs aren't as strong as they were. You're needing knee replacements and hip replacements. This, again, is an image that's given to us. When the grinders cease because they're few, this refers to our teeth. Even those of us who have a good dentist know that as you get older, there's greater potential to lose teeth. When those looking through the windows grow dim, my guess is your eyesight today isn't what it was years ago. So our eyesight grows dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sounding of grinding fades, as you get older, you can't hear as well. What's that? You are limited in that way. The sound of the grinding fades when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. Again, this is an illustration of hearing that is fading. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. Well, when you get older, your fear level increases. You're afraid of heights often because you're afraid of falling. Surely you've heard of older people who are afraid of falling. Maybe some of you here this morning are going, yeah, this is relevant. I'm concerned about if there's some ice in the parking lot afterwards. I know I have to be very careful because I'm afraid of falling. There's dangers in the street. When the almond trees blossoms, well, the almond tree back in ancient Israel when Solomon wrote, when they were blossoming, they would be white in color. So we know that as we get older, there's a potential for our hair to get gray or white. I look out here this morning and I'm going, amen. There's even a potential for some of us to lose our hair. I'd rather take gray hair than no hair, but so be it. This is one, again, of the limitations of aging. And then the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. So as you get older, you're that much closer to death. As we continue on this positive theme, remember your Creator before the silver cord is severed, the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Now, I'm going to be on the level with you. Ecclesiastes 12 does not present a pretty picture of aging. Solomon is brutally realistic. But Solomon is dealing with real life. And so Solomon's argument makes sense. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth, before there's a time where because of physical deterioration, because of mental limitations, you will no longer truly be able to commit your life to God in the way you could when you were younger. Remember a few years ago, speaking at a nursing home. And I went in, and there was a lady who greeted me. And she was so excited that I had come along to the nursing home. And she spent about 3 minutes telling me about how she came to Christ as a young girl. And it was a delightful testimony. I enjoyed listening to her. She sang heartily as we sang 2 or 3 hymns. And then it came time for my 10-minute devotional. I was extra dynamic that morning. I was passionate. It was a sit on the edge of your seat kind of message. 3 minutes in, I hear this funny sound, a muffled sound. I looked over in the corner where that woman I had talked to earlier was sitting, and she was sound asleep. She was snoring up a storm. At first, I was a little offended. I mean, how could she be asleep this early in the morning at this time in the service? And it truly was an exciting message. But then I thought, she's older. And that's what comes when you get older. For her, this was a limitation. For her, this was part of the challenge of aging. But I left that morning going, am I ever glad that that woman, when she was younger, made a life-altering decision for Jesus? And my contention this morning, as I'm speaking now to everyone who is younger today than you will be tomorrow, this is the time. If you're 78, this is the time for you to commit your life to God, for you to look in the mirror and go, there are some things I can do for God today that I may not be able to do tomorrow. How careless and reckless for me to just wait indefinitely before I decide that I'm going to really live for God. So because you're younger today than you'll be tomorrow, now is the time to enjoy life. I don't want to hear anybody going, well, 5 years from now, just wait. I'm going to have a blast. Have a blast today, this week. Oh, yes, you have to plan out vacations, and I realize that there's some balance between instant gratification and pursuing things now without delay. But for those of you like me, don't be overly cautious. Don't be overly careful. Go for it. Enjoy life now. And Solomon adds to that. In fact, he would argue that to really enjoy life, you need to be committed to the Lord. It goes hand in hand. It's a package deal. But don't make the mistake of waiting for a more convenient time to live a God-centered life. You remember Felix from the book of Acts? Paul was talking to him about spiritual matters, and Felix was quite interested. He seemed to be on the verge of making a decision for Jesus Christ, and Felix sent Paul away because he was waiting for a more convenient time. When it comes to life, procrastination can be a great challenge. But the message from Solomon is, now is the time to enjoy life. Now is the time to commit your life to God. So I have a bonus point. It's not found in Ecclesiastes 11 or 12. It's what many of us would agree is missing at points in Ecclesiastes. Solomon, as we've said consistently, has an under-the-sun perspective, and this is now being more intentional, bringing about a whole Bible perspective, sensitive to God's unfolding plan of redemption and the hope and the prospects we have. So the bonus point, and I'm not just saying this because I want to win back the favor of anybody who may have been offended by Solomon's message. I believe this bonus point with all my heart. Now is the time to respect the aging and the aged. Did you hear that? Now is the time to respect the aging and the aged. Growing old can be a challenge. It can be a struggle. But it can also be a wonderful time of life not just for the person growing old, but the people who are blessed by the witness and the lives of those who are growing old. I like to call this the dignity that belongs to the aged. And if we had time for a whole other sermon, we could preach it on the dignity of aging. Scripture looks at aging as a good thing. There's challenges, there's struggles, but there's great blessing that comes with it. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 92. Are you familiar with Psalm 92? Let me just read a couple of statements near the end of Psalm 92. In verse 12, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. And then verse 14, get this verse. They will still bear fruit in old age. Isn't it wonderful to see an older person who is bearing the fruit of righteousness? This is the picture we have here in Psalm. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Now, a week ago when I was dealing with a bad stomach flu, I was green. But this has to do with refreshment. This has to do with a very pleasant and nourished approach to life. And they proclaim, "The Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." I don't know about you, but for me, some of the greatest inspiration I receive in life have come from those who are older than me. And I'm delighted that Byron Community Church intentionally is an intergenerational church. And there's a lot of churches in the city that are just for older people. Young people really aren't welcomed. They really don't have any younger people. I know some churches that are so committed to targeting young families and younger people that those who are older really aren't welcome. Or like a church here in our city where the pastor said, "If you're older and you don't like what we're doing, just leave." God forbid the day that that kind of message is ever delivered by a pastor, an elder, or anyone in this congregation. In fact, Paul in Titus 2 says that this isn't kind of a modern idea. Paul is saying, you know what works best? Is when the older men are nurturing the younger men. He doesn't give ages. You can be 30 and mentoring or nurturing some guys in their 20s. You can be an older woman in her 70s or 80s nurturing a woman in her 40s or 50s. But for Paul, we like to call this the Titus 2 church, is an intergenerational church. Are you glad you're part of an intergenerational church? Is this kind of a value that, it's not a big... I think it is a big deal, and I think into the future we will appreciate how significant that is. There's an old saying, you're not getting older, you're getting better. It doesn't mean that maybe your physical health is better. It doesn't mean maybe that your mental health is what it was, but you are getting better. One of the reasons that you're getting better is always keep in mind that the person who is getting older is one step closer to their true element. Solomon had a very negative view of death. As Christians, we know death is an enemy, but we should not face it with fear. For death is just the beginning. And when we die, here's what's really neat. I believe, as I've studied heaven and what the future is like, we will be young again. Those of us who have physical limitations, just wait till we get to heaven. I know we're going to be worshiping the Lord, but I don't believe we're going to be sitting playing our harps 24/7. I believe we're going to be walking in the beauty of heaven. And some of us are going to be running again. Some of us are going to be sprinting back and forth. Will there be dancing in heaven? I think there could be anything and everything we could imagine. But what we do know is that we will be young again, and here's what's really neat. We will be young forever. Young at heart, young with the Lord. There'll be no more sickness, no more tears, no more sorrow. So I'm always reminded those who are getting older tend to be one step closer to what is to be. So always be sure that you're respecting those who are older. Solomon gives us a negative picture of aging in chapter 12, but in other places in Solomon's writing, he gives us a very, very important picture of those who are aging. My guess is those who are older than you will tend to be wiser than you. And at a very practical level, I would ask you, who is older in your life that is giving you counsel, that's giving you advice? And if you're a younger person, younger than me, so that means you're quite young, but if you're a younger person, younger than me, can I implore you? We want to make sure that we pass the torch, that we honor those who are younger, that we are open to change, that we don't become crusty older people. Younger people don't need crusty older people. Maybe God will help us mellow in our older years. So we'll do our part. Please always do your part. Respect, honor, and treat with dignity those who are older. Amen? The bonus point does not usurp the big idea. Say it with me. You are younger today than you will be tomorrow. I want you to remember that. I want you to think about it this week. So while you're young, now is the time to enjoy life. Now is the time to commit your life, to really live, and to really serve your God. There's no redos. You don't go from 40 to 39. You don't go from 59 to 58. You are getting older. But now is the time, and choose to enjoy life and commit your life to God. So stand with me as we have a final prayer, and then we will close with a worship song. There'll be some fellowship in the foyer, and don't forget that we want to gather again to pray for our missionaries. So why do I have a sense right now there's somebody here who is leaning towards procrastinating? I've got this strong sense in my spirit. I think it's the Holy Spirit conveying to me that you feel it's the time to get right with God, to put that sin away and to offer to serve God in an area. And you're thinking tomorrow is maybe the better time. I'm trying to convince you that now is the time. Now's the time to enjoy life. Father, I thank you for older people. I thank you that this church values older people. God, I thank you for people who chronologically are younger. God, we value younger people. Help us to see the wisdom in investing in our children and in our youth. Father, help all of us to truly be young at heart. May we see that today is the day. This is the day, Lord, that you have made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. And Father, when there's troubles and difficulties, when we recognize the limitations that come with aging. We will not choose fear. We will not choose frustration. But we will choose to put our faith in you. And Father, may the prospect of a day without sorrow, without pain, without limitations, may that inspire us. God, you are great. You are our creator, the author and designer of life. Help us to realize that the best blessings in life, true enjoyment, can only be experienced, God, when you're at the center of life, through the grace and through the life and through the hope that comes in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, you're a wonderful Savior. If there's anyone here this morning who does not know you, Jesus, oh Father, draw that person to Jesus, and we will give him the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.